Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 35. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asamshayam Mahabaho Mana Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Kanteya Vairagyena Cha Grihyate. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena tu kanteya Vairagyena cha grihyate. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena tu kanteya Vairagyena cha grihyate. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena tu kanteya Vairagyena cha grihyate. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Samshayam Mahabaho Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena tu kanteya Vairagyena cha grihyate. Bhagavan Uvacha Any Mataji? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Personality of God has said, Asamshayam, undoubtedly, Mahabaho, Almighty Armed One, Mana, the mind, Durnigraham, difficult to curb, Chalam, flickering, Abhyasena, by practice, Tu, but, Kanteya, o sono Kunti, Vairagyena, by detachment, Cha, also, Grihyate, can be so controlled. Translation of the verse. Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. The following purport was written by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind as expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the personality of Godhead. But at the same time, it suggests that by practice and detachment, it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules or regulations of placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the super soul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. But the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn Vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to the activities of Krishna. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called Parishanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharge of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is, therefore, expert treatment for the mad mind, and eating the foodstuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Asamshayam Mahabaho, Mano Durni Graham Chalam, Abhyasena Tukanteya, Vairagyena Chagriyate. Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militan yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitantam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaiva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaham. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Mataji. Can't see with his glasses. So, every time we read a verse, we should try to find out the main points the verse talks about. Of course, we can just have a talk about whatever we want, but generally it is advisable, just as a practice, as a discipline, to talk about the verse. There is no verse who doesn't make nice points, because if it doesn't make nice points, that would not be Shastra. Shastra means, you know, something that it is important. Great sages, and in this case we are talking about Krishna, they have no time to waste saying something that doesn't mean anything. So this verse says many things, but as far as I can understand, there are 4 points that we should discuss tonight. First point is about the difficulty of overcoming Maya's action against us. The second is, what is the mind? We always talk about mind, but what is mind? Then the third topic to discuss is about practice, discipline. Fourth is detachment. What is the relation between practice and detachment? How can you practice without detachment? And how can you become detached without practice? So it seems like these two things are so much correlated, they shouldn't be two different topics. In one sense it does not, but in another sense it does. So let's start with the first point. Why Maya is so difficult to control, to win against her? Well, the answer is quite obvious, because it's Krishna's energy. Everyone of Krishna's energy is powerful because it comes from him, and because he has to do something so important, it has to be powerful. So, and some devotee, not some, in our life now is becoming big time of preaching Krishna consciousness. Many devotees come to us and ask, let me understand, because I don't. Okay, this is Krishna's energy, and so Krishna wants us back in his abode. So why is making it so difficult? Krishna wants us there, but arranges an energy that makes us difficult. So difficult that sometimes it seems impossible. We had devotees chanting Hare Krishna for 30, 40, 50 years, and they say, you know, I still don't see Krishna, I still I still feel attracted. So why Krishna wants us back to him, and at the same time he makes it so difficult? We have this tendency to try to find reasons for our shortcoming. Well, the point is that we have very serious difficulty to look inside us. We are scientists about looking others. We can be really, really good in analyzing others, but we are very faulty often looking inside us, because it is painful. It is painful to see that we want to be in this material world, you know. So it's Maya is powerful because we powerfully still want to be in this material world. This is why Maya doesn't go against our will. Do you want Krishna? If you really want Krishna, then it will be very easy. Srila Prabhupada said that. To become Krishna conscious is very easy. Very easy. You can do it very quickly. Yeah, but you have to want it. You know, you cannot decide saying, I want to go to the Yamuna, you never start walking. Or you go, start walking, and then after a while says, I feel tired, you know, I prefer to go back and take a nap in my room. Then you cannot say, oh, it's so difficult to go to the Yamuna, you just don't want to go. So this mentality of attaching all faults to ourselves is very good for our spiritual lives. It's never good to find faults outside. There is nothing who can happen to us that we don't deserve. This is just not possible. This is philosophically impossible. Either Krishna wants it, so why you should complain, or this is the result of some action we did in this life or some other. So why we should complain, because this is a natural result of what we did. So victimism isn't advisable in spiritual life. And even if, just for the sake of arguments, it is something that we don't deserve, that Krishna doesn't want, it just happened because, I don't know, it just for the sake of argument. Then, since we should be in spiritual life, or what is the word? It doesn't come to me. I only give classes in English when I come to Vrindavan, once in a year. So I just, what is the word when it would be better if you do that? It's better for you. Please help me. What is the word? Huh? No, it is. I take it as my own interest. I accept it because it is my pleasure, because it is for me. Anyway, even if it's that, we derive a great deal of psychological and spiritual strength of accepting something that unjust for us. Again, from the philosophical point of view, there is no victim. There are no victims in this world. Either it's Krishna or your karma. But even if you will not be, even if you won't be that, it's better to accept it as Krishna's mercy, because you gain strength. It is very easy to tolerate when you are wrong, because you think, okay, I did it wrong, this is my result, then I have to accept it. But when you think that you are totally right, then it's very difficult. And you feel it if you try, you know, to restrain your anger and your reactionary nature, and just accept it. On the moment you feel pain in your heart, oh, this is, I want to strangle you, you know, you want. But try that one time, just accept it. On the moment, you don't feel good. But the day after, you'll feel very, very, very good. Because you could tolerate. And how tolerance is important in our life it is very important, and we see it in the lives of great acharyas, because humbleness is the natural state of mind of someone who is in love. If you are in love with somebody, you are not arrogant, you are not presumptuous, you are very nice, and you smile, and you look at the person, and you know. This is the nature of love. So, for transcendental love, is exactly the same thing. That if you are humble, then you can love Krishna. Humbleness doesn't mean that when we go back in the spiritual world, you know, we spend our eternity doing obeisances, you know, every day, and thinking, I am nothing, I am a worm in, you know, in the stool, or things like that. It is not like that. That is descriptive, a description of a state of a mentality. That mentality, when it is at the base, you don't need to exercise it, because it's already there. And then you can be very arrogant with Krishna, just like Lalita or Vishakha. We read in Krishna's pastimes how the gopis are not very humble, and Radharani is not very humble at all with Krishna. So we scratch our head, and then we say, okay, I had to be very, very humble. Nada pisuni chenata rora pisa ishnuna amanina manadena kirtani sadahari. And then by being humble, I become very reactive, the contrary. So it seems like there is a real contradiction. It is not. Because by practice, you develop a nature who is already there. You go back in the spiritual world again. You don't need to exercise. You will not exercise it unless you have, in the spiritual world, you are something that by nature has to do something very humble. So, Maya is strong because we actually do not want Krishna yet. And this is why Krishna... And Maya has to be like that. Because love, spiritual love, is the only way by which we can go back to Krishna. So we need to be... how you say it? You need to be... trained up while we are here, how to relate with love. So we have to want to love Krishna. Why is that? Oh, because you cannot love unless you want it. There is no mandatory love. I think I spoke about this last week, or maybe some other class. And I cannot tell you, love me, otherwise I will do something against you, I will... And you say, oh yes, okay, I love you, because you are scared. Someone asked, if Krishna wants us to love, why he made us in such a way we can reject his love? That's his fault. I'm here because he made me in this way. Why should I pay for another's fault? You cannot. The police doesn't come to me and say, okay, you had to go to jail because Mr. such and such stole something. So what I had to do with Mr. such and such? You go looking for him. So Krishna made me in this crazy way. That's his fault. But that's not the right way to understand. Krishna's made us free. Because freedom, it is a necessary, mandatory, obligatory aspect of love. You must be able to choose if love or not. Just like in our human dealings, you know, you cannot force anybody to be your friend, to be your lover, to be your wife, to be your son. You cannot force anybody. So we are in Maya. Because we are free. And we are free because we can love Krishna. It's just we want it. Nothing else. We have to intensely love it. Want it. My English isn't very good, okay? I speak in Spanish countries, you know. and Spanish is not my native language either. Okay, so second point. Okay, so what is the mind? Of course, we know, first thing we learn when we arrive in a temple is the most famous phrase, the most revolutionary phrase I ever heard in my life. There was a blow, it blew my mind the first time that I heard it. You are not this body, you are a spirit soul. Now we are so used to hear this obvious philosophical declaration that we don't pay much attention. But remember the first time you heard it, it was an explosion. I mean, at least on me, it worked that way. Nobody never told me that so clearly, so powerfully. Srila Prabhupada told us, you are not this body, you are a spirit soul. Wow. And everything, if you accept this point, then everything in your life has to change. Because material life means I am this body. And if I'm not this body, what am I doing here? So I have to do another life, a spiritual life. And that's why we all join, because we accept the principle of not being a material body, but we are spirit soul. So, spirit soul, when it comes in this material world, takes a gross body, which is this one. We take many of these. Sometimes we are human beings, sometimes animals, sometimes this and that. But Shastra tell us that we don't have only a gross body. We also have a subtle body. A subtle body is divided in three aspects, which is capacity or identification, intelligence, and mind. Srimad Bhagavatam adds a fourth principle of contaminated consciousness. So these three aspects of subtle body, they are not material. They are materially contaminated, but they come from the spirit soul, because matter is inert. It's no capacity of thinking or of discriminating. Matter is just matter. Can you see a table thinking or feeling or say no, I don't want Bhagavad Gita upon me, put the Srimad Bhagavatam? It's no discrimination. It's just dead body. It's something dead. So the spirit soul, just like a battery, emanates characteristics that are called gunas. Okay, just like this, just like the rays of the sun. And these are his qualities. When the spirit soul comes in this material world, it takes something by Maya's action that contaminates this originally spiritual characteristics. So his capacity of identification in the spiritual world, we know who we are. We are gopis, gopas, cows, trees, and we know that. We know it because we have a capacity of identifying ourselves. When we come in the material world, this capacity becomes contaminated, just like a filter. There is a filter all around the soul, and this rays of natural, original, spiritual characteristics becomes contaminated, goes through and comes out as a false identification, false ego. Ego means I. Okay. False ego means a contaminated capacity of identifying yourself. Originally, you know who we are. Now, we are confused. Every time we take birth, I am this, and then in few years, I am that, and that, and that, and then that. And we never got it right, just like the guy who writes down my name, he never gets it right. My name is not Manu Nat, but Mano Nat. Okay, so we never get it right. Every time I am this and that, I'm not. I am spirit soul. So this capacity of identification becomes false because of Maya's action. And then there is another characteristic very important, which is the buddhi, is intelligence. What is buddhi? Buddhi is the capacity to discriminate. Okay, we'll go back to buddhi in a minute. Now let's talk about the mind. The mind has two characteristics or two capacities. One is to accept or reject, and the other one is thinking, feeling, willing. That's the mind. So why I didn't want to talk about intelligence before talking about the mind? Well, actually, I don't want to talk now about the mind because I want to talk about senses. So we accept and reject or think, feel, and will according to sensorial experiences. So we touch something that we immediately like and you accept it. You come too near to fire and you reject it because the experience is not pleasant. Okay, you don't want it. So you think to something you like and then you think that. Something that you don't like, you try to reject it. Feeling means I like this, I like this person, I like this book, I like this place. You accept it or reject it in base of your sensorial experience. You come to Vrindavan in June, you don't like it because it's too hot. And then you go. You reject it. But when you come in Kartik, everything is so beautiful and everything is so green and you accept it. Mind in the material consciousness depends on sensorial perceptions. You perceive, you accept or reject, you think, you feel, and will. Then, according to what you accept or reject, then you discriminate. That's buddhi, that's the intelligence. And intelligence begins to discriminate in base of what I like. Okay, discrimination is not a mental activity, it's not a mental capacity. The mind is simply, I like it, I don't like it, I like it, I don't like it, that's all, you know. So intelligence is more analytical and say, okay, I don't like it because of this and this and that. Then it begins the process of discrimination. So according to sensorial activities, mind and intelligence functions according to that quality. And because the intelligence discriminates on that base, our identification becomes thicker or thinner in relationship to the material world. The more we have a nice sensorial experiences, we identify more and more with the material body. So this is very important. Why? Because the process, the Srila Prabhupada and the Gaudiya tradition is teaching us, it's just genial. It is unbelievably intelligent because there are many yoga systems who tell you had to control your mind, you go up in the mountain and just control your mind. You can do that, but it's not really effectual, it doesn't really work, it's very difficult. Why? Oh, because mind and senses, they continue working. You can be on the top of the Himalaya and there is nothing there, but there is some kind of subtle pleasure. Oh, I'm a great yogi. I'm very powerful. I enjoy life within. Because yogis, they are very happy, actually. They are very happy because they become detached from the fire of material life. And we are not empty. Inside, there are a lot of things going on. So they begin to live inside, and they become really happy, actually. But this is not the best way for advancement in spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas taught us a really genial thing. They start from the last point, the last, how you say that in English, from the last station, okay, from the objects that we perceive through the senses. We know that we are more and more contaminated because of sense perception of the objects. We touch things that we like, we look at things that we like, we hear things that we like. And our Acharya then said, okay, we don't do that. We don't try to control the mind. We change the quality of the object that your senses perceive. It is not genial. It is unbelievable intelligence. You change. We cannot not perceive. Or we can do it, but it's so difficult. It takes lives and lives to try to control something. But if you change the quality of the object perceived by the senses, then if you stop looking at material thing and you start looking at Krishna, and if you stop hearing about material stuff and you start hearing about Krishna Kirtan and pastimes and philosophy, etc., then by changing the quality of this, the senses or what the senses perceive, then you clean yourself. It's purification. We call it purification. We purify our senses. And what does it mean, purify the senses? It means that the eyes become better. No, the mind becomes better. It becomes cleaned. Okay? He accepts and rejects not on based on what I like, but what it is right. What I like and what is right not always are the same thing. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it does not. We start thinking about Krishna. We start feeling nice about our wonderful life as a devotee, and like this. And the intelligence starts to understand philosophy. And it becomes like automatic. Before, we make an intellectual effort to give the right value to an experience or to a judgment you had to make. But after that you have been hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it will be automatic. Immediately you'd say, no, this is not what I should do. An intelligent tells him, I don't accept it or reject it. This is intelligence based on philosophy, based on knowledge, on transcendental knowledge. Intelligence says, I don't accept it, reject it. And the mind says to the senses, don't touch it. Because intelligence says, no, he's the boss. So don't do this. And then the senses says, okay, we cannot do that, touch that. Touch the lost form while being a pujari, etc., etc. So this is the reverse process of purification in Krishna consciousness. By perceiving material objects, we become contaminated. By perceiving spiritual objects, we become purified. And this is how the mind becomes our friend. Just like Krishna here is giving it to Arjuna. Arjuna says, oh, this is too difficult. And Krishna says, okay, okay, I will give it to you. That is not easy, but it is possible. It is possible. By practice, I just try to describe to you what is the process. Change the quality of the objects you perceive. And renunciation. Renunciation means we can do some renunciation artificially. You know, we know that it won't last forever. We have seen very, very elevated in our history, very elevated yogis and great gurus, etc., falling down for unbelievable, stupid stuff like the great sage called Saubari Muni, falling down because he was meditating inside the water of the Yamuna, okay, for hundreds of years, without breathing, without eating, without drinking. And he saw two fishes mating, and if he would have come up immediately, he would have drowned. Can you imagine the power of Maya? I understand a man and a woman, okay, you can be attracted. But two fishes, how can you be attracted? But because the idea of sense enjoyment was still in his mind, then it triggered it, just the vision, it triggered the vision, the human vision. And I'm sure that Sabaramuni didn't get attracted to the fishes. But it's just the information was still there. Because, why? Because he didn't take it away. He didn't take it away. It was still there. He didn't purify it. Because purification, it comes only when you start being in contact with spiritual entities. So practice means, Srila Prabhupada is very clear, chanting, etc., etc. Now I'm coming to say something so obvious that you have been hearing it for decades. Okay, and detachment. Detachment means that you try to be detached, and artificially, in the beginning, nobody's so advanced. This is a school. When someone comes, obviously, is a student. A student is not a professor, obviously, makes mistakes. But then, the detachment becomes, has to become natural. That you don't force yourself to be detached. It just don't pay attention to it, because it doesn't mean anything to you. Why? Because of a superior taste. It's so nice, being a devotee, so nice to be in association with devotees. Am I going to waste everything for this stupid thing? Am I going actually to ruin my life for this? I'm not going to do that, you know. And Krishna will help you. Krishna is helping us always. He's going to give us so many experiences, even bad experiences. He will make us fall down. He will make us suffer. He will make us do so many things. And we will learn. It will take some time, but we will learn by practicing and by detachment. So I don't know how many minutes I have more. I guess not so many. 15 minutes? 10 minutes? Oh, it's 6:25 to finish. It's 8, it's 6 and 13.
Huh?
Up to 7 o'clock? But Mataji says only 10 minutes. If Mataji says 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes questions. I would like to take some questions. I love questions, okay? Because I want to relate with you. If you tell me what you are thinking, then I can relate. Classes sometimes, you know, not that this is impersonal, but there is no direct communication, and I don't have the pleasure to know of you, because every year I come here, I don't know anybody. Everybody left, and there is a new brand of devotees. I've been coming in Vrindavan for 40 years now, and I don't know any of you.
40 years.
The first time I came here was in 76.
Sometimes we see there are people who are forcing and doing the things and it's going on. But Lord Krishna is having his plans, so whatever he is doing, so we should accept his plan, whether it is good or bad.
(Clears throat) Okay, let's try to say something intelligent. If you want muscles in your body, you have to force yourself to go to gym. You cannot say you go to a gym, you pay your monthly quota, you go inside, 5 minutes after, you go back and you say, okay, give me back the money because where are my muscles? You know, I paid, but then there is no muscles, then give me back the money. You know, it is not that you become a devotee and then you say, I don't love Krishna, then I go away because I made my renunciation, and there is no. This takes time, this takes practice. How much time, you cannot say. Nobody can say it, how much time it takes to become pure, to love Krishna. It entirely depends on you. There is nothing else, there is no. I've been preaching lately in a country, so it is Cuba, and these devotees they have nothing. Nothing. They have no japas, they have no instruments, they have no books, they have nothing. Something started trickling down. I bring something and some other devotees sometimes. Not many devotees go there at all. So, and I could see how these devotees are advanced. And I saw no difference between Cuban devotee with nothing, no temples, no dhotis, no saris, nothing, and other temples. So I was thinking, how is it possible? How is it possible? Well, because Krishna consciousness is not limited by external factors. If you are sincere, Krishna will give you. We should not think, I will become advanced because I chant my rounds, because I study a lot, because I am in Vrindavan, etc. It doesn't work that way. It works only by mercy. If you are able to attract Krishna's mercy upon you, you can be in any unfavorable situation and be very advanced in spiritual life. It is all begins, and there is no, Castro cannot bar Krishna for entering in Cuba. Krishna was there before Castro, and will be there after he will leave this world. So Krishna is everywhere. If you are sincere, if you feel in your heart the necessity to know Krishna, then it will arrive. Spiritual life is a great adventure. You know, material life is an adventure. Material life is so boring. There is nothing going on, really. It might be something going on externally, but internally you are so empty. So spiritual life is a great adventure, and there is always something going on internally in ISKCON, a lot also outside. We don't get bored in ISKCON either, but it's a very alive life. Okay, and it's a wonderful life.
So I'd like to make a quick comment on this discussion. I spent 2 years in Kenya, which was a similar situation.
Where?
Kenya. Which is a similar situation that you discovered in Cuba. We couldn't even get any books because of the financial regulations. It was just impossible to get anything. So we became detached, because we just learned how to preach without all the benefits that you would get in the other centers. So, which brings me to my question. My question is, Krishna says you can control, he gives you the idea that exactly the way to control your mind is by practice and detachment. So my question always was for this verse was, do you get the detachment? You're doing, getting the attachment by your own, just like you would practice. Or do you get the detachment because of the practice?
Uh-huh. Hmm. Well, at the first place, the first thing has to be an effort, your detachment. You make an effort to detach. Because nothing will work if you don't really want it. Or even if you want it but not enough, you just want it superficially, but at least you are trying. So, according to the intensity of our desire, Krishna will help us. It's a question of proportion. How much do you want it? If you want it 1%, then it will start working, but it will work 1%, or maybe 2%, because Krishna is very, you know, is very kind, very liberal, and will give us more than we deserve. But unless there is an initial desire from our part, nothing will happen. There are many people who come here, they chant because, you know, especially in India, not anymore, but the first time we came here, you came, I think, before me, here, you know, for an average Indian to be an ISKCON devotee was a huge jump, you know, living in a marble place, living in an ashram was like a big thing. Not anymore, because now India is very different. It's becoming rich and so many nice temples, etc. So if someone has too many material motivations to come to Krishna, that it won't work. I wanted to say it won't work, but actually it's not true. It's not completely true. But I felt it was necessary to say it won't work. It would work, but not because of you, because of Krishna's kindness. You have all material desires. You don't care about Krishna. You don't care about purification. You just want a nice place to live. You want money. You want this and that. Still, because unwillingly you are in a spiritual place, in a temple, and hearing the holy name, then you will get purified. But what is that purification? That purification is the desire. It's not a direct purification to go directly to the spiritual world. Unless we don't want, it will never go. So that purification will be the purification of desire. We purify, then the desire, it will start growing in us, and we'll start thinking, okay, I wanted a nice place to live, but this is wonderful. Krishna is wonderful. He plays the flute and Radharani and the holy name and the devotees are so nice. And then your desire will wake up within your heart. So it's like a train that needs two rails to run. On one side there is practice. On the other side there is the your desire to practice. So by practice, your desire will become more powerful, let's say, stronger, will become stronger. And because your desire will become stronger, then your practice will become better. And because, you know, it's a chain reaction, it's a positive, transcendental chain reaction. And then our spiritual life will... If we look to our first days in Krishna consciousness, or even before we knew, thanks to Srila Prabhupada, we came to know Krishna consciousness. Then we can see how this works. You know, let's for a moment turn off everything that we are, that we have, and just think to our, really think, to our first days in Krishna consciousness, or before. Then we see exactly the process described by Rupa Goswami and by all our acharyas, how it works exactly scientifically with us. It does.
So in other words, detachment means higher taste.
Higher taste. You cannot be detached. It is unnatural for the soul to be detached. You know, the soul is ananda by nature. How can it be detached? It's impossible. It's unnatural. It's like asking fish to fly or us to I don't know what, you know, to walk into the fire. We don't, because it's unnatural. So we cannot be detached. This is impossible. So when we can practice detachment, because we have idea, we know that we are going to get more. Okay, just like when we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita and we see all these great Vaishnava crying and jumping and ecstasies and doing all kind of stuff that we don't know what is that. We have an idea of what we have if we practice detachment. That it is a self-interested detachment. We don't practice detachment selflessly. We are very selfish in our detachment, because if you do that, then we get much more. And this is the importance of Srila Prabhupada books or all other Vaishnava books, that gives us an idea of what we are going to get if we leave this miserable material world. We have an idea. And we have the gopis, and we have today, my wife and I, we were in Varshana. It was so beautiful, and everything was just incredibly beautiful. I go to Varshana very often, and but this time was the only time that I went only with her. We were alone. And it was so intense and beautiful, and then that's why we are detached, because we want to get that. Then multiply this material or mixed spiritual and material experience we had today in Varshana, multiply by, there's no number, because number means limit. There's no limit. But multiplied by trillions and trillions of trillions. And that is what we're going to get. Oh, this is a good deal. This is a good business. If we have a good businessman here, if I tell you, give me 1 rupee and I'll give you 100 rupees, whoom, I will swap away by rupees. Because it's a good deal. So let's leave this miserable material world. We are going to leave it anyway. It's not that we are heroic leaving it. We are going to leave it. So, but if we leave it in our own accord, then we get the spiritual world. If we leave it by force of nature, we are going to get another body, start again, being the son of somebody and husband of somebody else, etc., etc. Samsara from body to body, this useless life. So we are very selfish. The Vaishnava, in a sense, is very selfish. We give up to take something immensely greater. But to know what we are going to get, we need to study, we need shastras. Because you don't know. You know, if you have no idea what this and this, that's why the Goswamis passed part of their lives of writing books. That's why Srila Prabhupada was begging us, please, I don't want to manage this movement anymore. You know, he never said that. Maybe he said it, I don't know. But don't make me waste time. You manage this movement, let me write. Why writing it was so important for Srila Prabhupada? Obviously it was the most important thing. Because he went away, and now we have his books. By his books, we know what to expect. And that's why we are so enthusiastic in our spiritual lives. Why? Because I want to be like Lord Chaitanya, crying and jumping, etc., etc. I don't remember the last time I had a good laugh. Because I had to be very serious. I'm a proper disciple. So I had to be very... in such a way everyone say that I want to laugh. You know, I want to have good time. I want to joke with my God brothers. I want to chant and dance like a crazy man. That's life. you know, being sober, etc. That is not life. It's not a nice life. It's boring. So, and we know this only because Srila Prabhupada spent a part, a good part of his lives, of his life, writing books. And the Goswamis also, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Balladeva Vidyabhushana, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, all our acharya wrote. And we had to read.
It's been my personal experience after coming to for the last 6-7 years. I observed in 7, 6, 8 years, whatever it is, I have spent so long. Detachment never comes by force. You know, with this constant practice of the rules, regulations, and all things, if you're really serious and you're paying full attention to all these things regularly, it comes naturally to you. I mean, like Prabhuji mentioned, love can't be forced. Similarly, detachment can't be forced. I mean, you can't artificially be a detached person. It comes naturally to you. Once you get into this practice mode, regularly you listen to Bhagavatam, you do your devotional service, and you do all these things, it comes naturally to you. You become so bored, you know, kind of, I'm failing to find the right word.
I understand.
So you become, you know, too much overwhelmed of this idea of becoming entangled in this material things, knowing despite of the fact that this is going to cause me a pain in future times.
Yeah, but the effort has to be there.
I'm not denying that.
Yeah, because if you don't make the effort, if you think, okay, I don't need to artificially be detached from smoking or eating meat or whatever, you know, then I just do it because it shouldn't be artificial. That's not the right approach. The point is that the effort is the proof that you really want it. It has to be free, but you have to prove. Yeah, you have to prove to Krishna, to everyone, that you really want it. And the effort, although faulty, you may fall, or you may have problems, that's human, it's nothing to be ashamed of. But the effort has to be there. And this is important. Prabhu, this is the last question.
I just wanted to know that you talked about external and internal Krishna consciousness. So, the internal part of the bhajan, could you please give a little more details about how to grow internally in Krishna consciousness? Because I, being a neophyte devotee, I always give much concentration on the external. Do this, do that, do this, let this many book distribution, this, that. Like, internally it's getting more drier. Like, I feel I am getting more drier day by day. So could you please give me more details about how to grow internally, like step by step? Like, imagine that I don't know anything in that way, so that I can understand
better. All the new devotees have to understand that anything they go through is nothing new. We were exactly the same way. When I became a devotee, there was also a great push for book distribution, because we had to send money to Vrindavan also. You know, we send money to Vrindavan project, to Mayapur project, when there was basically nothing here, etc. So, sell books. And we did it. And I also, at a certain point, I felt like a dry. Also because at that time, there were no books. Srila Prabhupada has not published Chaitanya Charitamrita. Or when I became a devotee, in my native language, there was only one magazine. There were no books. Only one magazine. That's how we made tens and tens of devotees. With neophyte devotees giving classes, you know, you can only imagine what they were saying. Now I remember their class, it was, oh my God, you know, what they were saying. So, it's a question, it's very much a question of balance. And for this is very important, the guru, you know, you have to have a guru so that it may help you to get a more balanced life. Because sometimes we feel dry, but as soon as we sit down and read the book, we fell asleep. I saw this very much. We had one time one very dynamic, big guy, you know, Sankirtan devotee, and he was asking, I want to read. He won't read. He would just fall asleep because it was not his nature. So you had to be very careful not to break down. So that's why the guru is so important. You should go to your guru and say, Guru Maharaj, I feel this way. Maybe you can help me to have a more balanced life. Maybe I should have an hour off to study. Or maybe I should chant better rounds. Maybe if you are a new devotee, maybe it's not really important that you chant the 16 rounds until you are initiated. Are you initiated? Okay, now you have to chant 16 rounds because you promised. So there are so many things you can say and do, but that's why the guru is a guru. The guru is there to give personal. Shastra is for everybody. The guru is for one. That's why one takes a spiritual master.
So my question is internally, how to grow better, what can we, the enjoyment, you said that it's internal, not external.
Well, internal, Prabhu, is not something that can be said, you know. It is something that comes by itself. It's, for me, how we worked, the little that you worked, how we did. I was in love with scriptures, much more than chanting rounds or I was a disaster in Sankirtan, I was a disaster in chanting, but just loved the books. And so maybe you don't like the books so much, maybe you like to chant, maybe you like to dance, maybe you like to pujari. There are so many things, and we are not the same. It's not. So when we talk about heart, when we talk about our soul, there is no way that is the same for everybody. Okay, so externally we know what we have to do, and then how this sadhana becomes an internal experience. It is very personal. It is very personal. Happened to me in a way. Happened to others in other ways. I remember that temple president, when I was very young, I would hide. We had a Tulasi house, and there was something that you could hide beneath the Tulasi. That's where I would hide. And the temple president would call me, Manunath, where are you? Where are you, rascal? Like this. No? And because I wanted to read. I wanted to read 6, 7, 8 hours a day. This was my pleasure. And while we were waiting, when I joined, we had only one bathroom for 30 brahmacharis and one bathroom for 30 brahmacharinis in the first floor. So in the morning, we were waiting for our turn to go to take shower by reading Srisht Upanishad when he arrived, you know. So you will see as this strange sight of many brahmacharis in line reading Srimad Bhagavatam like this, waiting, okay, go on, Prabhu, go, no, like this. So it will happen. Just be careful to not overshoot it, you say, overdo too much. And the taste will come.
Thank you so much.
Love has to be there. I mean, something you have to have in love with. Until unless you are something you are in love with, something, any process you are part of, you have intense love for anything. Like your consciousness, that's consciousness.
At the beginning, it may be that we are not in love. I immediately fell in love with philosophy, and by luck, I knew English from my school before becoming a devotee, so I could read Srila Prabhupada books. There were not all of them. And when I arrived at Chaitanya Charitamrita, it was already initiated, so there were no Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I could read in English, and I loved it. But I could see that not everyone, but maybe a devotee will not fall in love with anything specific at the beginning, but he just likes everything, just like spiritual life. So, that's why we take a guru. Guru means you can talk to him, you can ask him questions, personal questions, and he will tell you, he will answer to you, not to everybody. Okay, we should chant the 16 rounds, so maybe you shouldn't do this, maybe you should do something else. That's why in ISKCON we have many spiritual masters, and it will be more and more. Why? Because the devotees, they need personal training, they need personal relationship. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya.